B61. Number 4B.
Yes. So, can you see the great difference also of the two methods in this way? Or, you have sometimes the situation that you deal with a patient and you say, oh yes, that patient is very receptive, would be very receptive for treatment, but that patient is surrounded by a lot of mentalities that are against Christian Science, and that they are not accepting Christian Science, and therefore that patient is limited really to an atmosphere that rejects Christian Science. And you say, well, therefore, because there are other mentalities around there that are not receptive, it's difficult to heal that case. Well, that's so when you think metaphysically. Because metaphysically, it is so that only then, when there is a receptive thought, that it works. Not so in science. In science, it doesn't matter if the patient or the surrounding is not willing to accept, it's the same thing. It's divine mind versus mortal mind. And if we see that there is only one mind, and we go out from the one mind, then there are no other minds. And we don't make that mistake that there are receptive mind and repulsive minds, or what you say, rejecting minds. It's all the same stuff. It's mortal mind. And the divine mind only knows itself as ideas. And so, in that way, we are not really afraid or touched or influenced by the fact that the world is full of mortal mind, and that that could hinder really the divine mind from its manifestation. So in science, we really don't judge according to how many mortal minds are against us or for us. It's just divine mind that knows, that removes all the obstacles, because it does not know mortal mind. It makes no reality of mortal mind. It gives to mortal mind no power, no argument, no channel, nothing at all. It just sees that the mind is the only mind. Let's look at it from another standpoint. I just take things that can come up in the student's mind. One of it is that really to see the difference between the metaphysical treatment and the scientific treatment. You see, as long as we are in metaphysics, we actually are limited to demonstrate really health, that is, mind over body. And that, therefore, the student thinks that the main object of Christian Science is the healing part of Christian Science, is really give to the body health, is giving to humanity really a better sense, an improved sense of humanity. And this is considered very often by students who are not well versed in the textbook, a sense that that is really the purpose of Christian Science. Whereas Mrs. Eddy is not supporting that. She says that really truth is not that which is only demonstrated as a phenomenal exhibition, but that the purpose of Christian Science is to demonstrate its principle. That the purpose of Christian Science, therefore, is not really the mind over body concept, but the purpose of Christian Science is to evolve the principle of Christian Science. If the healing of Christian Science would be the purpose of Christian Science, then it would be very small, very narrow, because it would only, so to say, re-establish the normality of mortal mind, re-establish the normality of the body. But Christian Science is much more than that. The demonstration of Christian Science is actually to come out of the material universe, out of the human universe, and spiritualize thought, so that the ultimate really is that we arrive at spirit and the demonstration that God is spirit. This is the great trend in the whole textbook, and therefore we must be aware that that trend, that high trend, can only be achieved if we work on the basis of science and not on the basis of metaphysics. Because only science itself says, goes out from the divine mind, that knows all, and therefore only from that standpoint can we really evolve the idea of divine mind, because mind knows all. Mind is the all-knowing mind. So we can see that if we restrict ourselves on the old concept of metaphysical understanding and metaphysical practice, we really shut us out. Can you say we shut ourselves out of the infinite progression of life, of the infinite progression of the principle of being? Because after all, what we should learn, what we should see, is that the idea of science evolves, and not that just our bodies are kept in some kind of a balance, but that the idea of science evolves and brings us into the spiritual realm. Yes, I think these are some of the main concepts that we should consider when we consider really the difference between metaphysics and science. Now, I have said, I come to another subject, I have said that the way to science seems to go over the way of metaphysics. That Mrs. Eddy in her life really had to find out that in the hard way, but when she began to see science, which she said came as a great influx of light to her, therefore as science, and that when she wanted to teach that to the students, she could see that she couldn't teach science to the students, that she had to reduce it way down to the human level of thinking and to the level of human ability to understand the metaphysical side of it. So in her early years, or practically all through her life, as long as she was teaching Christian Science, say up to 1889, in the Metaphysical College, she was constantly reducing science to metaphysics, because she said that's the only level that the students would be able to understand her. But she knew that actually what she had discovered was science, and that finally Christian Science should be taught as science. So she could see something that we have also to accept, that the human mind is not ready to accept in one moment really the whole influx of science in all its ramification, in all its beauty. That the human self must first be trained to look away from the material sense of things and begin to see the mental sense of things, the mental realm, and see that there is a mental realm, and then how the human self can be evangelized until finally the human self is willing to accept spiritual signs and the spiritual reality of things. So it's good if we are aware of that way, of the various stages that we have encountered. And I once tried, by looking back retrospectively, to see what are those steps that have to be taken, so to say, by everyone. Some take those steps quicker, some takes it a bit slower, but they seem to be those steps that are logically necessary in order to go through metaphysics to the point of science. That's what we call the 8 steps from metaphysics to science, or to the oneness of being. So I take up that subject, though I can't finish it today. And if you have the study aid with you, then you may be helped very much by opening it on page 58. If you have that study aid, open it there. And it's perhaps then a bit easier to follow. What can we see are the steps that everyone has to make when it comes out of the ordinary way of life, of where he has a material view of the universe and a materialistic sense of life. And so the steps that are necessary, I think, are these that we have here, namely, first, the ascending way of metaphysics, which are like this, that first, at the first point, we begin to realize also that all is mental. See, that's metaphysics. Metaphysics, we have seen, is the science of mind, molem, and is an investigation into the mental realm instead of into the physical realm. So every student first has to accept for himself that there is, besides the physical realm, also a mental realm. Because, you know, the materialistic age, like the last century, would not accept that. In the last century, which was the pinnacle, so to say, of the materialistic age, accepted only that only that which is material and can be touched and be cognized through the 5 physical senses is real, and that everything is material. And so the very first thing is that the student must awake really to the sense that also a mental realm exists, no matter if it's the only realm or a realm next to the physical, but at least he must realize that. It is today more and more, becomes today more and more apparent that actually all is mental. That even the physicists arrive at the conclusion that all is mental. That the universe, as James Jeans, the great Nobel Prize winner for astrology, said, that the world looks much more like a big thought than a big machine. You know, that from Descartes on, they considered the world as a big machine that run like a machine, that you can calculate every position and everything materially. Whereas in the new investigation of matter, they come to the realization that that investigating matter, you come to a point or a limit where you are pushed into the metaphysical realm. That matter can therefore only be explained metaphysically and arrive at the conclusion that all is mental. So that's the very first point. Actually, a point that was already seen way back at the time of the Greek philosopher like Parmenides. He already saw that knowing is being, that everything is knowing, that everything is mental, and that actually being is mental. So, in a way, the student is first led to that point where he begins to see that. So often, perhaps he is introduced into it, not so that he sees that everything is right away mental, but that the mental plays a big part, namely through the new discovery in medicine, in psychosomatic medicine, where they begin to realize that the mental attitude of the patient is the most important medicine for healing the patient. That all depends on his inward mental attitude, that also a lot depends on the doctor's mental attitude, and therefore that relationship of mind and body is established today more and more in the world thought. Practically all the people believe now in psychosomatic medicine, and that a lot of the healing depends on the mental attitude. So psychology came in, and psychology is also to be subsumized under this point one, that the mental is important, that it is super important, until finally they say, well, the mental is really the only thing. So when that has been established, like it has been established in all the metaphysical theories and theorems and groups and methods and practices, then usually comes in the second important point. Point two is that one then has to realize that the mental is a dangerous thing, that the mental can be either good or evil, so that the mental stage becomes much more dangerous than the material state of things. That the purely materialistic point of view is actually child's play against the sense that all is mental. Because in that mentality, there is good and evil mentality, there is good practice, there is evil practice, there is true practice, there is malpractice. And therefore, more and more, really, that practice of evil, mental practice of evil, occultism, witchcraft, black magic, and so on, comes more and more today again into focus in the general atmosphere of consciousness, and therefore it's a very dangerous period that we go through. But it's a necessary period, because the first stage is to break away from the belief that all is material, and therefore to see that the mental is important, or perhaps the real or the general atmosphere of things. But then we must be aware that that is a dangerous state, can be either good or evil. So when the student begins to realize that, then naturally he's at the crossroad. Then the student has to define to himself what he wants. Does he want to go into black magic? Does he want to go into witchcraft? Does he want to go into occultism, into esoteric practices? Does he want to go into malpractice, into thought influence, and so on? Or does he want to go and see that only that which is good should be practiced? How can he know that? That's now the crucial point. How can he know how to practice only good mentality? And here comes in the first touch of Christian Science, which says, I can tell you what is good thinking. Namely, good thinking is thinking in line with ideas of God. That's good. So the third point is that the student then begins to realize that he must think in terms of ideas. Can you see? But there, naturally, we have again the great point, what are ideas? And he has to learn, no matter how he resists it, but finally he has to learn, if he wants to make any progress, he has to learn the seven synonymous terms through the ideas characterizing the seven synonymous terms. So if anybody who feels resistance to go over those ideas, to go over the study of the seven synonymous terms, he feels that resistance, he just has to be clear that he is under the influence of animal magnetism. That animal magnetism is that which tries to keep him away from going forward, to keep him away from exercising and using and applying and practicing ideas. So, until we have overcome that resistance and see the beauty of that study of the synonymous term, we are in danger. And we are not on safe ground. We build on sand. So the third point is that we begin to think in terms of ideas. That's usually there where our students come in. They are taught in the first, second class the synonymous term and the ideas of the synonymous term, so that they begin to learn to think in ideas. That's still metaphysics, but good metaphysics. It begins to become scientific metaphysics, where they begin to learn the ideas, how to blend ideas with ideas, where they begin to learn the order of ideas, how ideas unfold in an ordered way. So that's a wonderful stage already, and therefore a necessary stage. Then, once he has accepted that and can see that he can align his thinking and his consciousness to ideas, then he usually arrives at the point where he asks a very important question, namely where he says, do I have to go over all those 100 ideas of mind and all those 100 ideas of spirit and all those 50 ideas of soul and those 60 ideas of principle and those 40 ideas of life and those 120 ideas of truth and those 90 ideas of love? Do I always have to go through this whole list of ideas? If he tries to do that, that's very good. That's very positive, but he arrives at the point where he gets tired of it because it's addition. And you can get tired of it. And Mrs. Eddy said, why don't you come out of addition? Why don't you go into multiplication? Why don't you see the redundancy principle? And the redundancy principle, you have multiplication ad infinitum. Or ad infinite, I don't know, ad infinitum, yes. So, at that point, he must realize that there is a way out of this addition method. What is the way out? Well, John Dolly taught us that, and we have been teaching that in the syllabus classes. It is that we get the tonality of the synonyms. Then we only have seven, and we don't have a few hundred ideas. We only have seven synonyms for God. So at that point comes in that we begin to think about these ideas, that's still point three, think about the ideas of mind. And not in a way as you pray with a rosary, just reading out those nice terms, but when you begin to spiritualize this term or to get the spirit of this term, and we get the spirit of this term by going over these terms in mind and ask ourselves, what do they mean? How are these ideas connected with each other? What are the interrelationship of this idea? Why is creator also the producer? Why is producer a cause? Why does a cause have a law? Why does cause need power to be a cause? And so why does action belong to mind? Because the power always gives action and results in action. And you slowly begin to get into a flow, how all these ideas are related to each other, how they are interlinked with each other, so that in going over this idea in this way, you suddenly feel more and more the spirit of it or the tone of it, and you just have, instead of 100 ideas of mind, you have just the one tone, mind. And that is point four, that we begin to think in terms of the synonyms for God. And that is then the bridge to science. So that most important stage where we culture the ideas of a synonym to the point, so where we begin to culture those ideas to the point where we begin to realize that it's just mind. And you get a sense of mind that includes within itself all the various ideas of mind. You get the redundancy principle. And only in this way, really, we build the bridge, as you see, to the synonymous term, where we suddenly go out from the synonymous terms. And no more in the contemplation of ideas, but where science is the contemplation of the infinite one, the synonymous term. Yes. Okay. We will go on tomorrow and go through this page, and then we'll take page 36. Yeah. Then we take afterwards the page 36 in the study aid with the method of treatment as John Dolly told us. I don't know if you have the booklet with you, The Development of the Christian Science Idea and Practice. In case you have that with you, you can perhaps read tonight a little bit, namely pages 53 to 60. If you have that with you, if you don't have it, okay. The world will not fall to pieces because of that. So that we'll do that.